Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going way back, to the beginning with Genesis 1 to unpack this creation story. One of the most influential creation narratives ever.
Absolutely.
We've got some fascinating excerpts from a text that explores the story in detail. And I, for one, can't wait to see what insights we can pull out of it.
It's amazing to me how Genesis 1 still has such an impact on how we see humanity's place in the universe. Even, thousands of years after it was written.
It's incredible.
It's not just a story. It's like a foundational worldview.
Yeah. And when we compare the Genesis creation account to other ancient creation myths, it really stands out.
Totally.
Like, have you ever read the Babylonian creation epic Enuma Elish?
Yes. And it's such a fascinating contrast.
Yeah.
Enuma Elish describes creation as this result of this epic battle between all these warring gods.
Wow.
And it's just chaos and violence.
Oh, wow.
Compared to Genesis, which presents this idea of a single all-powerful God who speaks the universe into existence with incredible order and purpose.
It's such a powerful image, a universe spoken into being.
Yeah.
Just those opening words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," are so foundational for so many people.
Absolutely. Those words, like, establish the bedrock of belief for so many different faiths.
Right.
God is the sole creator.
The
origin of all things.
Yeah.
The sense of dependence on a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we move through the 7 days of creation, we see this really structured, deliberate process unfolding.
It's so cool.
Light bursts forth on day one. The sky separates the waters on day two.
Mm-hmm.
Dry land appears and plants start to grow on day three.
Wow.
It's like this cosmic blueprint carefully designed and executed.
And it's so interesting how the text repeatedly emphasizes that each stage of creation is good.
Yes.
And ultimately declares that everything, the whole shebang, is very good.
Everything.
This idea of inherent goodness in the created world is a theme we see throughout the Bible.
Absolutely. And I think it raises important questions for us today as we grapple with issues like climate change and environmental destruction.
That's a great point.
Did the ancient Israelites see a fundamental goodness in nature that perhaps other cultures who view the natural world as more chaotic or even hostile didn't? Could that have shaped how they approached their role as caretakers of creation?
That's such an interesting point. It makes you think about how different cultural understandings of nature might have impacted their views on environmental stewardship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, returning to the creation week itself.
Okay.
We see God's power on full display.
Mm-hmm.
That phrase, "God said," is repeated throughout the whole narrative, emphasizing divine authority and the incredible power of language itself.
I love that. It's like the spoken word holds creative power, the ability to bring something new into being.
Yeah.
And then on day six, we come to the main event, the creation of humanity.
Yes, and here we encounter one of the most profound concepts in the Bible, the idea of Imago Dei, that humans are created in the image of God.
I find it fascinating that this concept has been interpreted in so many ways throughout history.
Oh, absolutely.
What are some of the nuances and potential meanings that have been explored?
Well, some interpretations focus on our intellectual capacity, our ability to reason and make moral choices.
Okay.
Others highlight our capacity for love, compassion, and creativity,
mm-hmm.
seeing these as reflections of God's own nature.
Interesting.
So others point to our role as stewards of creation, given dominion over the earth, to care for and cultivate it.
Mm.
It's a concept that continues to inspire theological and philosophical debate, prompting us to consider what truly sets humanity apart.
It makes you wonder what specific qualities the ancient Israelites might have attributed to God.
Yes.
And how they believed those were reflected in humans.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It definitely invites us to dig deeper into the cultural context and consider what Imago Dei might have meant to them.
Right.
We can explore this further as we unpack specific verses later on.
Okay.
But before we move on, I think it's worth pausing on another powerful verse. Let there be light from day one.
Yes. It's so poetic.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's about so much more than just physical light, right?
Right. It can be interpreted on many levels.
Okay.
Light as a symbol of knowledge, purity, even the divine presence entering the void.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor that resonates across cultures and religions.
It's amazing how this ancient text can spark such profound reflections.
It really is.
Speaking of profound, this idea of God speaking creation into being really makes you think about the very nature of creation itself.
Right.
It hints at that mind-blowing theological concept.
Yes.
Creatio ex nihilo.
Exactly. Creation out of nothing.
Whoa.
This is where things get philosophically deep.
Right.
Creatio ex nihilo really challenges our understanding of the relationship between God and the universe.
Yeah.
You know? Like, does it suggest a deistic God who sets things in motion and then steps back, or like an actively involved God? How does this concept challenge or support various scientific theories about the universe's origins? There are so many layers to unpack.
Oh, no, it really makes you think. If God created out of nothing, what does that say about our understanding of the universe and our place in it?
Well, for one, it suggests that the universe is not an accident.
Right.
But a purposeful act of creation.
Yeah.
And within that creation, humanity holds a special place endowed with that divine spark of Imago Dei.
Which reminds me, we were talking about the different interpretations of an Imago Dei earlier.
Yes.
It would be interesting to delve into how those interpretations might have influenced ethical considerations in different historical periods.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
For example, in the early Christian era, Imago Dei was often used to advocate for the humane treatment of slaves.
Oh, wow.
Even though slavery was a widely accepted practice.
Right.
It provided a theological foundation for recognizing the inherent dignity of all people, regardless of their social status.
It's fascinating how these ancient ideas can have such a profound impact on how we understand ourselves and our responsibilities to others.
Oh, no.
It's almost like a ripple effect throughout history.
Absolutely. And as we continue through the creation narrative, we see more of these ripples emerge.
Okay.
On day 7,
yeah.
We have this pivotal moment where God rests.
Mm-hmm.
This introduces the concept of the Sabbath, which is more than just a day off, you know?
Right.
It's a reminder that even God rested after the work of creation.
Yeah.
It's like this built-in rhythm of work and rest, a recognition that we need time to replenish, to reflect, to reconnect with the divine.
I know I'm not the only one who feels like they need a seventh day to recover after a busy week. The idea of even God needing rest is quite comforting.
It is comforting.
But it also challenges that modern-day glorification of busyness and productivity, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Mm.
The Sabbath invites us to reconsider our priorities,
mm-hmm.
to recognize the importance of rest for our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's a countercultural concept in a world that often values constant output over genuine human flourishing.
I think that's something we could all benefit from reflecting on. So we've explored the structure of creation, the key themes, some pretty mind-bending concepts, but how do we apply these ancient ideas to our lives today? It feels like a big leap from these ancient stories to the complexities of modern life.
It's a challenge, for sure.
Yeah.
Genesis 1 challenges us to think differently about our relationship with the environment, with each other, and with ourselves.
Okay.
Let's take each of those in turn.
All right.
First up, environmental stewardship.
All right.
What does Genesis 1 teach us about caring for the planet?
Well, it paints a picture of a harmonious relationship between humanity and nature.
Right.
It seems like we're being shown that we're not just conquerors of the earth, but caretakers.
Mm.
But with all the environmental challenges we're facing today, it can feel overwhelming to know where to even begin.
It can feel that way, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think Genesis 1 provides a framework for understanding our interconnectedness with all of creation. It's a call to recognize the inherent value of the natural world, not just for our own benefit, but for its own sake. It reminds us that the earth is not ours to exploit, but a gift entrusted to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be caretakers, to protect biodiversity, to promote sustainable practices.
So maybe it's less about feeling like we have to single-handedly solve every problem,
yeah.
and more about recognizing the power of small individual choices.
Yeah.
Like reducing our carbon footprint, supporting sustainable businesses, advocating for environmental policies.
Exactly. It's about shifting our mindset, recognizing that our actions have consequences, and understanding that even small changes can have a ripple effect.
Right.
And it's not just about individual actions.
Yeah.
It's about systemic change. We need to hold corporations and governments accountable for their environmental impact.
That's a great point. It's about collective responsibility working together to create a more sustainable future. And speaking of responsibility, we talked about the dignity of all life. How does that play out in our relationships with others?
Genesis 1 tells us that every human being is made in the image of God. That means recognizing the inherent worth and value in everyone we encounter, regardless of their background, beliefs, or circumstances.
It's a powerful concept, but it also feels incredibly challenging, you know? In a world where there's so much division and conflict, it feels like we're constantly bombarded with messages that tell us to fear or distrust those who are different from us.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in those narratives of fear and division.
Yeah.
But I think Genesis 1 offers a powerful counter narrative.
Okay.
It reminds us of our shared humanity,
mm-hmm.
our common origin as image bearers of the Creator.
So how do we translate that into action? How do we bridge those divides and truly start seeing each other as equals?
Well, I think it starts with recognizing our own biases and prejudices.
Okay.
We all have them.
Right.
It's part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
But we can choose to challenge those biases to seek understanding instead of judgment. We can choose to listen to those whose experiences are different from our own, to learn from their perspectives.
It's about moving beyond our comfort zones, mm-hmm. right? Engaging with people who challenge our assumptions and help us see the world in new ways.
Exactly. It's about building bridges instead of walls.
Yeah.
And it's about taking action to dismantle systems of oppression and injustice that dehumanize and marginalize entire groups of people.
Mm.
It's about advocating for equality and fairness, speaking up for those whose voices are often silenced.
This reminds me of what we were talking about earlier, the concept of Imago Dei and its implications through history.
Yeah.
It's amazing how this idea rooted in an ancient text has fueled movements for social justice and human rights.
Absolutely. It's a testament to the enduring power of this concept.
Yeah.
Imago Dei is not just a theological idea. Right. It's a call to action, a reminder that every human being deserves to be treated with dignity and respect.
It's a pretty high bar, but I think it's a worthy one to strive for. And speaking of striving, we've talked a lot about our responsibility to others and to the planet. But what about our responsibility to ourselves? How does Genesis 1 inform our understanding of personal identity?
Well, Genesis 1 tells us we're created with intention, with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We're imbued with that divine spark, which gives us a unique dignity and potential.
Right.
It challenges that narrative that we're just random accidents of evolution.
Yeah.
Suggesting instead that we're part of a grand design. A cosmic story that began with a spoken word and continues to unfold in every moment.
I love that it's like we're each a chapter in this epic narrative.
But, yeah.
But I think a lot of people struggle with feeling like they have a purpose, a sense of meaning in their lives. How do we tap into that potential that you're talking about?
I think it starts with recognizing our own inherent worth as image bearers of the Creator.
Okay.
We're not defined by our flaws or failures, but by the love and grace that brought us into being.
That's so important. It's about shifting our focus from what we lack to what we already possess, that inherent dignity and value that's within each of us.
Exactly. And it's about embracing our uniqueness, the gifts and talents that make us who we are. It's about using those gifts to make a positive impact on the world, to contribute to the ongoing work of creation in our own unique ways.
It sounds like you're saying that recognizing our own dignity can actually empower us to recognize the dignity in others.
Yes, absolutely. It's a ripple effect that can transform our relationships and communities.
Oh.
When we see ourselves as worthy of love and respect, it becomes easier to extend that same love and respect to those around us.
It's a beautiful idea. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Genesis 1, what's the one thing you hope listeners will take away from our conversation?
That's a good question. I think that even though it's an ancient text,
yes.
Genesis 1 still has the power to speak to us today. It challenges us to think about the big questions of life. Who are we? Where did we come from? And what is our purpose in this vast and wondrous universe?
Yeah.
And it offers us a framework for living a more meaningful and purposeful life. A life that honors the Creator in all of creation.
It's been an incredible journey exploring these ideas with you. Thanks for sharing your insights.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, as you go about your day, consider this. If we truly believe we're made in the image of God, what responsibility do we have to reflect that image in our actions, our choices, and our interactions with the world? It's a question worth pondering, a challenge worth embracing. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Genesis 1. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking truth.